You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Rangers and Capitals continue to churn out the wins due to their cornerstones in net. Henrik Lundqvist, Braden Holtby led their various teams to victories via the shutout. And from shutouts to shutdown, life for the Winnipeg Jets begins without Andre Pavlik, and it does so with a loss. We welcome you into Hockey Central at noon on the Fan 590 Sportsnet and the NHL Network in the United States. And I don't even want to hear it, Kipper. All right.
Darren, your voice changed.
Along with Doug McLean, and I'm Leah Hextall, pinch hitting for Darren Millard as we hear he's a little under the weather today.
Sniffles,
boys.
I think. He's out with sniffles.
Be nice.
His immune system is always seems to be
because he works so hard, guys. He works
soft.
So hard. There you
soft.
Got it. All right.
Works
well,
like one night a week. No, two.
Two?
Well, if the Leafs play.
See, I've been on with Doug before, but I've never been on with Doug and Nick at the same time. So I think this is about the
this
time where I turn off
great.
My mic
no,
and I just let
great.
You guys talk, right?
This is
going to
be great.
Over under if I get 10 words in?
I just met a guy. I was walking across the street, and the guy from a truck. I love when truck drivers scream at you when you're walking to work.
So
really?
You're late for work. I said, I'm early. It's 11 o'clock. I was coming across University Avenue. I think it was Welly, W-E-L-L-Y. Mm-hmm. It said, try a Welly on. I don't know what that means on the side of his truck. What is it?
A beer company, according.
How would I have missed that?
Wow.
Anyway.
It's not
Anyways.
Wine. That's why.
Well, guys, I'll tell you this. We are just a couple days away from Thanksgiving in the United States. So we're just Thanksgiving for our listeners down in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And that's somewhat of a benchmark for teams in the National Hockey League. Because 79% of the teams that are in the playoff picture make the postseason. But, Doug, I really want to ask you about that. Because as a former head coach and a general manager, would this be the time of year where you would start evaluating your personnel and where your team is?
You're going to have to repeat a few questions because you get sidetracked every once in a while. So just
we'll keep him in line.
And you have to because every time you ask me a question, Nick jumps in and answers it. You know what? Most teams do. Most teams use mine was, we were usually eliminated by Halloween. So.
Good management.
No, and you know what? It is
a
benchmark.
It is a benchmark.
And you know what? If you really look at statistics over the last number of years, very few teams who are below 500 at American Thanksgiving make the playoffs. The odd team breaks that routine. But if you're on, it's a real conversation amongst teams. Got to be 500 by American Thanksgiving. Got to be 500. Oh. But, you know, it happens that teams come back, and there's always a fluke here and there. But I'll tell you, you get a really good read after 20 games of where you are. And it's frightening when you look at some of the teams mm-hmm. today that are out or who they have to climb over to get in.
Can you recall, though, in your playing days that you saw teams get off to poor starts and then bury themselves and never get back in it?
Totally. Yeah. It happened.
Like we're seeing teams eliminated by...
Well, not the way it is today.
Yeah, today.
Not the way it is today.
So doesn't that change the theory on American Thanksgiving?
The whole three-point game has dramatically changed. It's like I looked today at a couple of teams. When you got to climb over five teams with three-point games to get in the playoffs... You know, and you're sitting back 8 points, that is tough.
So Florida can't seem to get on any string at all here, and we know what starts have done to Edmonton in the past.
Yeah, a little bit of perspective here. Toronto and Boston last year at this time, they were both in the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference, and they fell out. They didn't make the postseason. Washington and New York replaced them. And then in the Western Conference, the Kings were the only one in the playoff picture that ended up falling out, and Minnesota replaced them. So it really is a true statistic.
It's like one or two teams out of the entire group, out of 30. So it really is a telling stat because at game 20, you've got a pretty good feel for where your team is, unless you've had an overabundance of road games or you've had an overabundance of injuries. You know, there's always some telling circumstances.
So the Leafs wake up this morning, they're 4 points out of last and 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Yep.
So I think that's a perfect position to be in.
I was going to say, after the sweep by Boston in the home and home, they suffered the shootout loss last night. They managed to salvage the point. As Nick said, they're 4 points out of a playoff spot. Is this more of a surprise to you guys, considering that there weren't a lot of expectations that they are this close to the hunt?
Well, you know what? When you really look and you say the 30th place team is how far out of the playoffs? In how far is the 16th place team out of the playoffs? If they're seven, maybe. So really, they're four out. It's not that big a swing anymore. It's not like you're game 20. What you have to really look at is where are they versus 500. Okay, you look at Columbus, 6-7 games under 500. That means they got to go 20 games over 500 in the last 60 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's
tough. And then you look at the Leafs. Well, what do they have to do? And who do they have to climb over?
Yeah,
I mean, I look at
that's not what they're looking at.
Well, they're looking at the top pick.
They're looking at big picture here. They're not Columbus. They didn't have. They just didn't make a huge trade for Saad, and the expectations were never about making the playoffs like Columbus. I think it's good for the culture of the organization to sit there and talk about a playoff spot. That's all good.
That's what they're doing.
And that's what they're doing.
Lou and Babcock are both talking it.
For sure. But they're not really in the hunt for a playoff spot. They're really in the hunt for regaining some respectability, shining up some pieces, and then moving them out.
Well, that being said,
that's the big picture here.
That being said, Nick, they've lost a bit of their shine, according to Forbes magazine, because they were the NHL's most valuable franchise for many years. I believe since back in 2004, they have fallen out of that. The New York Rangers are the top franchise now, according to Forbes. And then the Montreal Canadiens and Toronto falls to third. Now, this could be a couple things. Could it be poor performance on ice, or is it the Canadian dollar?
First of all, Forbes, okay, which I happen to like the magazine. Read it every once in a while if somebody gives it to me free. I used to get the Forbes magazine, and it would show what we made as profit in Columbus. And I used to think, really? I'd really wish we were making that kind of money. I mean, they were out by $10 million.
So you're cooking your books, is what you're telling us.
Well, yeah, that's right. And then I say, well, what am I missing here? So I don't put a whole lot of stock into it.
Mac,
you know,
it's like Forbes. They've got a pretty good reputation here.
I'm not telling you that it's all I'm telling you is
dollar for dollar.
There was a swing of $10 to $12 million on our profit line that they were showing, saying we were making and what we really were making. So
well, they're saying the Leafs are still making $1.15 billion.
In Columbus?
The Leafs are making what?
$1.15 billion is what they're worth. Yeah. And then the New York Rangers are 1.2, and the Canadians in between them are 1.18.
Who's your accountant?
I would like to know, like, I was told that a certain team in the NHL in the last year and a half have lost $60 million. I'd like to know what Forbes have them at as their losses.
Because they say it must be true.
Yeah.
Well, considering we spent $5.2 billion on the race, does that mean we can buy all three teams?
I'm not talking about Forbes.
No?
So I don't put a whole lot of stock into it. But that's fine. Forbes is a great magazine. I agree with you.
All right.
I just don't take those valuations to heart.
What would your worth be there, Douglas?
Priceless.
According to Forbes.
Priceless.
Oh, yeah, I don't. You were shooting your mouth off last week about, you know, my real estate stuff, and then I had people ripping me about me talking about it. I'm thinking I didn't say a damn word about it. It was Kiprios and Millard. So yeah, let's change the subject.
Yeah, let's keep on moving here. All right, so Toronto suffers the shootout loss last night, guys. They won't play again until Saturday, when they will face the red-hot Washington Capitals, who earned a 1-0 shutout victory over the Edmonton Oilers last night in a game that the Oilers, they didn't play all that bad, but none other than Braden Holtby comes in, and he absolutely, Barry Trotz said it best, he was the best player on the ice for them. But when your team goes from the Capitals putting up 7 goals one night to only 1 against a team like the Oilers, and Braden Holtby comes out and does did you guys see this?
Yeah.
We're showing it on TV. Justin Williams in the pregame warm-up.
I can't believe he didn't hurt
Holtby.
Him. Yeah. I can't believe he didn't hurt him.
on his shoulder neck area.
Oh, that's that had bad back written all over it.
And then to see this save from him later in the game. I mean, seriously.
But this is exactly to the point right here, is when your team doesn't come out and play, there's not a lot of goaltenders in the NHL right now. I'd say a handful that are legitimate starters that come out and they take that game. They steal that game. And that's what Holtby is for the Washington Capitals.
And it's been like that since day one this year. He's been that good. You know, remember, Kip, we were at the outdoor game in Washington, and Brian McClellan came up and met with us, and we were talking about Holtby and where what his future was, and
he needed a new contract.
Were they going to get him signed? And it was like day to day, week to week. All of a sudden, you look at Holtby and you say, other than Carey Price and Lundqvist, I mean, is he not in the top three in the entire league?
He's moving Pecorino, up there for sure. Pecorino. He's trending up there.
I mean, there's a half, like you said, a half a dozen, but
you
this guy,
a in there, yeah.
This guy has been good all year, every game, consistently good.
I know I don't want this to end up going back into a goaltender conversation about their equipment, but they are dominating right now, this league. Yeah. They are dominating. That position is total domination when it comes to influencing a game. We're not talking Crosby. Kane, I get it. I think he's there. Ben, Tyler Seguin, but we're talking only a handful of guys. After that, you now go into the goaltenders.
Yeah.
Lundqvist, you know, just to move off of Holtby a little bit, because you brought up Lundqvist, he's the best he's ever been right now.
Unbelievable.
He's been there over 10
Leading
years.
The NHL in
and
every statistic
I've category. Never, ever seen him better. And it's been about usually poor starts.
Mm-hmm.
He takes over a game. And I watch the Rangers, and I don't know still how good they are or how good they can get. All I know is when this guy locks it down,
they're done.
Like I'll they're tell gold. You, Rangers watched, are gold with Lundqvist.
I watched the Panther game against him the other night where the Panthers come back, pull the goalie, and score a couple
of
goals.
5-on-3 in the first.
This guy, we say, we don't know how good the Rangers are. When you really look at the Rangers and how they're playing and their line set up and who's contributing, without this guy standing on his head every night, they could be in trouble, Rangers. They could be in trouble with the way they're playing a lot of nights. He has held them in a ton of games and won them a ton of games. He won't let them lose. The other night, and I'll tell you what I liked about him. They lose or they won the game in overtime in Florida with Nash getting the hat trick, who had two goals going into that game or whatever. And he was ticked off after the game. He said, this is a joke the way we're playing right now. You know, giving up this to lose or let them score late in the game. It's not about winning with him, but it's more about the pride of how the team plays. But you're right. He has locked it down.
Well,
he had
his shutout last night, 31 saves. Over Nashville. We'll get to Nashville's issues a little bit in a moment because they've been shut out their last three games. But when you look at Lundqvist and Holtby, they both have 12 wins. Lundqvist is leading in the other statistical categories within the NHL as the top goaltender. But if you guys were picking a team here and you had to put a guy in net, who are you going with, Holtby or Lundqvist?
Price.
That is not an option, sir.
I'll take Lundqvist.
But you know what I meant?
Holtby's still got a way to go for me to get to Lundqvist.
Where's he got to go?
He's got to win a cup.
He's got to show a longer stretch of carrying a team.
Lundqvist and or Holtby?
Holtby.
Oh yeah.
I mean, come on.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's not anybody in the league that would take Holtby over Lundqvist right now.
What about Price or Lundqvist? Because I was thinking that for my good friend Elliot Friedman, for To the Point, he should take, I would give him the option of taking Lundqvist, and I would take Price tomorrow night in Wednesday night hockey.
I would.
And see how he made
it. Well, the only reason
one.
Price is probably not where he should be at the top of the standings is because he missed the 9 games with injury.
You know, from one game, who are you taking?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Price. I'll take Price because I like Price's demeanor a little bit more than Lundqvist. I think Lundqvist he can wind himself up a little bit too much at times. But as far as talent is concerned, come on, flip a coin.
I know. They're both.
You know, you're not going, if you lost a coin toss and you ended up with Lundqvist, you could still win the game.
What's so amazing for me about Lundqvist is this has been going on for a long time. This has gone on almost since the day he joined the Rangers as a, what, seventh round pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy has been a horse for these guys year after year after year. And you say, well, are they good enough? I mean, have they got a number one centerman? I love Broussard, but is he a number one centerman? I think he's perfect number two. So is Stepan. Are there a shortage on the wing? Their defense isn't as deep.
Your godson's looking good again, going 180 feet down the ice and scoring goals again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll get his 35. You know? He'll get his 35 or so, probably.
His 35.
How does it work now? When he plays really, really well, he's your godson, and when he doesn't, he's just another player? Stepson?
Mm. I'm kidding.
Come on, that's not nice.
No, I'm kidding. I take that back.
But, Doug, when you question if the New York Rangers have what it takes possibly up front to get over that hump that they've been trying to get over for the last few years, isn't that up to management right now to make sure that that happens, that they get that personnel? I know it's tough because you have the goaltender, and that is, to Nick's point, it is the hardest position in the NHL to conquer. And when you have a guy, you got to go.
You also have the thing that haunts every team in the NHL is the salary cap. That's the factor. And, you know, you're Glenn Sather, Jeff Gordon, and you make the deal to bring in Yandel. And it doesn't get you over the hump last year. You think that's going to be a great deal for you. I didn't think he was going to be the guy to get them over the hump. Did you, Nick? And right now you're sitting there what do you do to improve the team? If you didn't have that salary, where would they be?
And a guy like Patrick Marleau would probably be attractive to the Rangers, like a lot more other teams, if he just didn't have that one extra year at $6.7 million. Yeah. So they can't go there. They've got, I think we mentioned Hayes, Miller, and Kreider, who need new contracts. That's where their responsibility is for the Rangers moving forward. And if you look at the Rangers right now, again, outside of Lundqvist, and you go Zuccarello.
Outside of one line. Pretty good year.
Amazing.
Pretty good year.
Yep.
Okay. After that.
But go outside the one line, right, on their team. The Broussard, Nash, Zuccarello line. Who else is contributing there as a line?
They're going to have somebody at some point kind of
Step it up a little
bit, because Lundqvist will get his 62, 63 games, and then that's it. You can't have him go much more than
Not
that.
If you
have to keep
him yeah.
fresh for a Stanley Cup run here. And Ranta's been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he'll get his 20 games in and allow Lundqvist. I think the Rangers they're one of the higher teams with back-to-back games this season. You got to protect Lundqvist.
And you sit there and say, well, who out of the East? Who do you really like out of the East? Is Montreal a Stanley Cup contender? Is Washington
Montreal.
Washington look more like a playoff heavy type team, to be quite honest? Tampa Bay, I mean, I don't like the way they're playing right now. I know they're getting a few more wins, but still, I just don't like
the Stamkos distraction will only get worse. Yeah.
So it's wide open. It's wide open as to who's going to win the East. You know, typically I always say, well, Pittsburgh have a chance and the Rangers have a chance. And you wouldn't typically say Washington, but all of a sudden Washington, I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs.
But Montreal, New York, and Washington, they're the three goaltenders right now that are leading the way. And that's what gives these teams the ability to go and capture the Eastern Conference at the end of the day. But with those New York Rangers, we're sitting here picking apart a team that's 9-1 in their last 10.
Yeah,
they're shutting out the Nashville Predators. And for those Predators, usually averaging 3-plus goals a game, they've been shut out for 3 straight games. That is 213 minutes and 47 seconds. It sets a franchise record. Where has the Nashville offense gone?
James Neal's as good as anybody the last few years in terms of that consistency. I mean, it's not like they don't have guys now that can put the puck in the net, which has been typically their issues over the years.
How frustrating is that? A team gets shut out 3 straight games.
But the big problem for me with Nashville is if they don't get it coming from their back end, if they don't get that offensive contribution, they're a little bit like Calgary. If you don't get the back end producing points and getting the puck through and giving your forwards a chance, there's not a lot of pure scores. Mm-hmm. Forsberg has struggled. He hasn't had the year. Craig Smith hasn't had the year yet. Hopefully they come around. When you're looking at your number one centerman is Carrie Underwood's husband.
I love Mike Fisher,
but I don't like him as my number one centerman. She was great in the American the awards. Did you see
she's
the American?
Always great. No, she's the American always great.
Awards. No, I did not.
Entertainment
did
not. Awards the other night.
She did well.
Yeah, and what's her name? Hosted.
I'll send. I'll
J-Lo.
Send your
J-Lo hosted
she
it.
Shut it down.
I'll
there
send
off
your,
the top.
Watching the American
Music Awards.
You know
you
when I
hip.
Muted it? I muted it when they said Justin Bieber was coming on to close
stop.
The show.
Good
I said,
Canadian
"I'm done."
Boy.
Yeah, I know, and I know he's. Gonna, but I had. I couldn't. I just.
I'll
I just
send,
had to
I'll
bail
send,
on that.
I'll
one.
Send regards during All Star Weekend. Doesn't sound like you're going.
No, I'm not going.
You're not going.
I'm not going.
I'm not going either,
Doug,
so don't worry.
I've been grounded from that and the Winter Classic. So I'm on standby. I'm grounded. No, I'm not on standby. I'm grounded.
You're grounded.
Well, we'll see if Nashville can get off the snide in their next game, but got three straight shutout losses. That's not an easy thing. Your goaltender can't do anything about that. Pekka can't do anything about that if you guys aren't going to score a few goals. And speaking of life with goaltenders or perhaps without them, Andre Pavlik. We won't see him again until the New Year guys suffered the knee sprain on Saturday night. That's a tough blow to the Winnipeg Jets, who, after losing six, they went two at home, looked like they were starting to get back on track, and then they lose to Colorado last night by a score of 4-1. Michael Hutchinson, 4 goals on 28 shots. Do you guys think their next game we might see, it is Wednesday against Washington, do you think we might see Connor Hellebuyck get in the net?
I can't believe
they're
really high on him, but I don't. I think it's too much. I think
they can't take a chance.
I think Hutchinson's done too much the last little while to not give him a legitimate shot here.
And you've got to count on him because Paul said after the game, like he may not. It they're saying a month, but it could be into January is what Paul said. So, you know, where does this stand? So, you know, you've got to give Hutchison a chance to run with it here. And if he doesn't, then I agree, go the other way. But I'll tell you what, you know, this guy here, Duchesne, the rumors started about him. Not what's he got, 13 points in the last?
That's all it takes is just to start a rumor.
Like, seriously, Elliot Friedman did this guy a huge favor. Was it Elliot? Was that Elliot Scoop or was Damian?
It sure was.
I get it mixed up because they're both
headlines. They're both on headlines.
But here's the question. When those rumors come out surrounding Duchesne, he goes on the 7-game point streak. 13 points in that time. Is he playing now to stay in Colorado or is he playing to say, hey, I might be able to get out of here?
I don't get the sense that he wants to leave.
No.
I think it's funny when guys make requests to leave, that stuff has a way of leaking out.
Finding its way.
And I don't think that he's, I think he's happy there.
I don't think he wants to leave either. And I think it's a matter of time. It's like all these guys, you know, the big talk is the big boys aren't getting it done this year, whether it's Getzlaf, whether it's Crosby, whether it was Duchesne, whether it's whoever. They all seem to find a way. Like you said, Getzlaf had 11 goals a couple of years, but he's still a horse, and you want him, and you need him, and you know he's going to be a key guy to either get them in the playoffs or take them deep. So these stars find
Matt
a way.
Duchesne's so talented. Yeah. He is a special player too, and
he's a good kid. And there's not a chance I don't think he wants to leave. I don't think he wants to leave Colorado.
But
a little bit.
No player likes to have that over his head. You asked me, you know, earlier that if he's playing to get out, he's playing to prove to everybody that he's a damn good hockey player. Now whatever that means, but no. You're aware of it out there. And you live with it. And I know some guys that have crumbled under that type of scrutiny or pressure or microscope or whatever you want to call it. And they don't handle it. It's the opposite for him. I mean, he's showing everybody, if you are going to trade for me, you're getting a real good hockey player.
Now, Jill was asking me a question on the weekend at the talk of the Islanders taking the train to the game. She said, well, do they?
Really,
do
Jill? They, really? That's
was,
where your conversations go now.
She was concerned about it.
You know, not it's well pick it's, me up some
no it's Christmas and it's New York
supermarket.
And it's always like a Fifth Avenue Christmassy thing. So she said, like, the Islanders take the train to the games? I said, well, your husband takes the subway to work. What's the difference? You know? She said, well, do they have a private train for these guys? You know, wouldn't the fans bother them? I said, they never recognized Nick Kiprios when he played for the Rangers when he'd be around town, unless he was thrown out the first pitch at a Yankee game.
This is what you told Jill.
So is that an issue? Like, we're talking about players wanting to leave. Is that an issue on Long Island?
I'm really tired of hearing about the train, and I'll tell you why. Any Western Conference team would take that train ride over the travel that they have to do any day of the week. If that's your problem, you've...
Yeah, and it used to really tick me off. I'd be leaving Madison Square Garden after playing the Rangers when I was coaching. I'd be getting on the bus to go back to the hotel, and Coley Campbell and Dick Todd and whoever else was the assistant would be getting in their limo to go home after the game.
It is New York.
It is New York. I know.
It is New York. Tell Jill...
That you know, the train is like
they're
the subway.
Okay with it. They're okay.
She's concerned about
if Glenn
the
Healy
welfare.
Can do the GO train, you know, from Pickering, anybody can take
I haven't
a train.
Been.
Well, like I said, I take the subway here every day. And, you know, I have great conversations with
people tell
hockey
you're
fans.
Late for work all the time.
I don't know how to operate the subway yet in Toronto.
So are we concerned about the Islanders situation with Hamonic wanting out? It's a personal thing. He wants to be close to home. I mean, what do you do there? He's your best defenseman, he and Boychuk.
He's really, really put Garth Snow and the Islanders behind the eight ball here.
Totally.
Because he's got the friendliest contract for a guy that plays his type of minutes. Mm-hmm. And they're going to want not only the value of the player back, but the value on the contract. How do you value the value on the contract? How do you do that? Is it an additional second rounder, or is it take more money off my books? Like, where it is one of the most complex trades right now that maybe we've seen in the last little while, because his contract is so friendly for the next, if I'm not mistaken, 3 years. Additionally, after this year,
here's the thing,
$4 million.
About the New York Islanders, the fact that they let Travis Hamonic come out and discuss it after it broke, they let him come out and discuss the fact that he had requested a trade. Does that almost blow your mind as a former general manager that in this day and age, the change that you've seen in the way that the players and perhaps maybe just the push they have, the control they have over certain situations, including their contracts, their destinies, and trades?
Well, it doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen very often. And it's hard to comment because I don't know what the Hamonic's personal situation is. You know, that's why you're always hesitant to get into a conversation about why does he want to go closer to home? And
the character of him would suggest that it is,
the character of this guy. Like I did
he's
a thing.
He's not going to ask for it if it's
I did
not
a thing
needed.
On him a month ago when I did an Islander game. And I mean, the way he's become a top two defenseman, really, and the way he's emerged and how important he is to that team. And, you know, he's too quality a guy. He's not one of those guys that demands a trade because he's not a good guy. I think he's a real good guy. And I think it's a tough situation.
I think the best case scenario for Garth Snow and the Islanders is that if he can somehow change his mind. That is the best case scenario. And listen, I don't know what his...
Give him Coley's limo to go to the games.
I don't know what his issue is. I don't know what his issue is.
No,
and
that's why
it's not fair. It's not fair for me to comment on that. But I will say in general here, this is not Hamonic. This is just in general. And maybe you can speak of this as well. Is that if I'm a president or a general manager, I just can't accommodate anybody that comes into my office and says, I got personal reasons, I want to go closer to home. I can't do that. You know, I can't. If it makes sense, I'll do it. But in this case scenario where it doesn't make a lot of sense, you're gonna have to stay and keep fulfilling your contract.
You know what?
You know?
It's really...
That's, tell me if...
I
tell that's
you.
Out of line, because I can't have half my team come up and say, I got personal reasons, but I can't, you know, I'm not going public with
it. One of the shocking things that happened to me as a GM is I never had one player, and I was with an expansion team. I never had one player ever asked to be traded. Not one. And, you know, we made lots of trades, but not one play. It doesn't happen very often where a player goes and asks to be traded. It may be more so now when it's tougher to make deals, but I never had it happen to me once. And it sort of, it always jumps out at me like, seriously.
So he'll go to Edmonton. He'll go to Winnipeg. He'll go to Calgary. I heard he'd even
Minnesota?
Go. I heard L.A. too. I heard
how does
he'd
that
go
make
to
it
L.A.,
better,
but
though,
L.A.
can't,
home. They can't make it work.
L.A. can't make
they
it
can't
work.
They can't make it work.
Anaheim could make it work.
Fowler.
Anaheim could make it work, but somebody said he doesn't want to go to Anaheim.
Winnipeg.
But that doesn't make sense because it was all about geographical, right? He wanted to be closer to home.
Right. Yeah. So it would be Nurse.
Which is St. Malo, Manitoba.
Out of Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Brody out of Calgary.
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen.
Truba, I think, has... I think that the best chance is Truba.
I could see a Truba,
you know,
Hamonic deal working.
Truba needs
to... You don't know if they're going to be able to get him signed.
Truba needs to be re-signed. I hear he's asking for a lot of money. There are some rumblings that long-term he may not want to be in Winnipeg. So...
See, I see that as a... To me, that Nurse is still a kid. You're not sure what he's going to be. Tough one to make. Hamilton... I don't know where he fits, but Brody's not going anywhere. But with Winnipeg and Truba, to me, that makes sense. It helps Winnipeg, whether they're a budget team or cap, to get the other guy signed because of Hamonic's money. It takes a problem off their plate. And Truba hasn't been very good this year. He's a good player, and he's going to be a good player. But that, to me, is a fair deal.
You can say that's a fair deal. You can say the same thing about Hamilton, and I don't think that Calgary is ready to, you know, say that they made a huge mistake signing Hamilton to his new contract. But maybe because he has gotten off to such a poor start that they might be intrigued to look at it, you know?
Calgary? I guess they would be intrigued. I mean, if Calgary can move Hamilton and his 5.6 and get Hamonic at his 4+, they're doing that all day long.
Do they swallow their pride, though, and do that?
Who cares?
Really, yeah, there's no...
Are they not doing that all day long? Hamonic for Hamilton? I mean, come on. Wouldn't you agree? Brody, I say no way.
I don't think the Islanders do that. I'm with you. I think the Islanders would look at that and go, okay. How good do we think Hamilton would be, and whether or not we're really comfortable taking that cap hit moving forward?
This isn't a knock on Hamilton.
It's not a knock on Hamilton.
No, it's not a knock on Hamilton. It's a knock on the 1.6.
They just don't know whether or not that number makes sense for them for a guy that hasn't arrived yet.
Mm-hmm. And they've got some deal people to get signed on the island. Let's not forget, you know, I mean, they've got some contracts coming up. One being Okposo,
you know, just going back to Winnipeg. And I think right now their goaltending situation is the least of their worries. If I'm Kevin Cheveldayoff, it's like, where am I headed here? Where am I going here? Because I've got Byfuglien, who I think they've engaged in talks again. I've got Ladd, who wants almost
a lot of money.
$6 million, or I'm sorry, almost $7 million.
That's frightening to me.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've got I got RFAs, including Truba.
Yeah.
So, like, where is this heading on a short term basis here?
Well, right now they're sitting in a playoff spot. So who knows, that 79% mark. We'll see if they can make their second consecutive playoff appearance. But we're just going to have to
Who's
wait.
Who's sitting
this
in
time
a playoff spot? Winnipeg? Are they?
I believe so, sir.
I thought they were out today.
Oh, they are out today.
Oh,
look
I did my
me.
Homework.
Look at you.
Yeah, and you're a Manitoba girl.
No, they're not. They're in eighth. Stop it. Oh. Don't do that to me. What a jerk.
He does that all the time to Darren
They're
Millard.
In the final wild card spot in the Western Conference. All right.
Enough of these girls spinning.
I'm not a Winnipeg girl.
Portage.
I'm a Brandon girl.
Oh, yes.
Get it right.
Oh, we don't have time. This is very boring. Nobody wants to hear about my geographical where I was born. So either way, when we return on Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet, the Fan 590, and the NHL Network in the United States, we're going to take a look at tonight's action. We got the Sens and Stars, Flames and Ducks. It's going to be a great night, a little bit of a sleepy night, but two great games. So we will discuss that on Hockey Central noon when we return.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We welcome you back into Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet, the Fan 590, and the NHL Network south of the border. And yes, I was wrong. Doug McLean was right. Winnipeg is out of the playoff picture.
It doesn't matter, Leah. I just made my comment, and if it would have been Millard, I would have fought him right till the bitter end, you know, to prove myself right. But with look, it was fine.
We've never heard Darren Millard say I was wrong.
He doesn't make mistakes. That's the problem.
Oh, he does.
It's no big deal.
He makes a lot of mistakes.
Leah, I can understand where you went wrong. It's a tight race.
Oh, jeez.
By the way, Linda Cohen, ESPN, famed host.
Yeah, we get it.
Broadcaster.
We get it.
Is commenting, jumped into the fray on our goaltending conversation. She says goalies work the hardest of any athlete. And I'm thinking,
isn't
Linda,
she a goalie? Didn't she play
obviously,
goalie?
Linda never saw Greg Millen practice.
I think she plays net, though. I think I've seen a lot of pictures on Twitter
for
playing
play
net.
Yes. She does play goal. But have a look at Greg Millen's practices
Linda, St. Louis. I played with a couple of goalies that had the philosophy that if I'm quick enough to get out of the way of pucks in practice, I'm quick enough to stop him in a game.
Healy's work ethic in practice? Was he a workhorse?
Oh, he was great. He just, right after practice, he'd go on the Stairmaster. Right?
I could see and then
he'd, then he'd ask the trainers, are the coaches gone yet? Yeah, they're gone. I'm off the track. Okay.
So what we've learned from this is, yes, the Winnipeg Jets, they're not in a playoff spot. Doug McLean was right. I'm looking at old standings. That's all we know. But tonight, we got two games on tap.
Even when you're wrong on the standings, you're way better than Darren Millard.
Oh, jeez. All right, two games tonight. So we got the Sens and the Stars. We also have Calgary opening a three-game road trip, all against divisional opponents, starting tonight in Anaheim. You can catch that one on Sportsnet West, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain. Doug and I will be there along with Damian Cox to get that one underway. We should get some hazard pay for that. That's a late game, Doug. You going to make it?
Because it's later, because you got to work with Damian.
Well, maybe both of those.
Plus, I got to do a sales thing here after.
Oh,
like they're
life.
Really... And my flight didn't get until midnight from Florida last night. So it's been a...
Wow.
Hashtag first world problems over there,
yes.
Mr. McLean. All right, so the Sens are opening a three-game road trip in Dallas versus the top team in the Western Conference who have won five in a row. They're off to their best start in franchise history. But what I love about this game, guys, is that we're going to see the top two point-producing defensemen go head-to-head in this one in John Klingberg and the reigning Norris winner, Erik Karlsson. These two guys, 1-2 when it comes to offense. They're both from Sweden. Are you guys looking forward to seeing them both go?
I would be, but I have to do... I'm doing the Calgary game, so I'm not going to get to see
it. It's on earlier. We can watch it.
Oh, yes. Great. No, you know what? Klingberg is... It is a great matchup because where has Klingberg come from? I mean, we all know he's
Sweden.
Career-wise. he was that... Where, Gothenburg?
You just said Sweden.
Well, he had the injury
last year. He, you know what? We knew for the last couple of years he was going to be a good defenseman. But did anybody really envision a Norris candidate for this guy this soon? I think we all thought down the road he has a chance. Ekman Larson, him, that whole group of young guys. But he's really taken it to a whole other level. And it is a great matchup to see these two guys go head-to-head.
And Karlsson... will score, stays healthy, 70 points, maybe 80. Like that, he is incredible to watch.
But there's frustration watching him, Nick, when you're a coach.
There is.
And you see him wave at guys going by. And then you see in a hard-fought battle against Columbus the other night.
Yeah.
It was a hard-fought battle that game. He steps up with the two big goals.
You just have to accept him for what he is. Totally. And until they can find somebody better... I think he's always going to have that feeling that you got to accept me the way I am. I'm going to turn the puck over. I'm just going to turn the puck over. You know, Spets has been like that his whole career too.
Coaches.
They'll always love that one-on-one type of confrontation on the ice because most often than not, they're beating, well, I shouldn't say that, but they're just going to give up the puck every once in a while.
I remember going to a coaching symposium a couple of years ago and Paul McLean was speaking at it, and he got up and he was talking about dealing with, you know, his system and making players play the system. And this is how we have to play to be successful. And he was talking about, you know, on the bench and making guys play the way. And so I raised my hand. I said, I agree with that, but how come when I see Zach Smith turn the puck over, there's a coach in his ear, and then when Spezza turns it over or Carlson turns it over, I don't see a lot of conversations around their eardrums? And I said, was it like when I was coaching in Columbus and I'd see Chimera turn it over and I'd grill him, and then Nash would turn it over and the assistant coach would say, Nash can't do that, Doug. And I said, I didn't see Nash turn it over. So you're making, I'm sort of qualifying your point.
They
turn a blind eye to those guys.
They know it. They know it. And there is that comfort zone that they know that they won't take the heat of a Zach Smith.
Yeah.
When they turn
Don't waste your energy.
They're your stars. Right? Yeah. They're your captain.
Don't waste your energy.
It's going to happen.
As long as you're winning or gaining points or you're making traction, the moment you start really skidding, you start trending in the wrong direction, then it becomes an issue.
Yes,
it
does.
Becomes an issue. The question is,
how
brave do you want to get getting into their faces?
I understand coaching and structure. I've never heard the word structure used so much in my life as I've heard this year in Toronto.
It's been a buzzword.
They're the only team that's structured in the NHL, by the way, according to the media. But you know what? Coaching today is so... It's managing the group. The system's BS. It's managing the group, dealing with the guys.
More importantly, for coaches, they're going to live and die by the Spezzas and the Carlsons and the Nashes.
And the Reimers.
And the Crosbys.
It's a result business.
Guys, if Reimer doesn't turn his game around, this team hasn't won a game in the last 10 days or 2 weeks. Come on.
But you're not managing Reimer.
No.
You're not managing him. Goaltenders are much different when it comes to...
They're the hardest working athletes in the world, except for Millen and Healy.
But as far as coaches with their star players, you lose them, you're done. Mm-hmm. And more so today than ever before, they're just a little... They got their long-term deals.
Well,
they've got their money.
Ottawa last year, right? And look what happened. A coach got fired for
They don't want to piss these guys off.
And you think about coaching the Toronto Maple Leafs today. What star could you lose on that team, and your job would be on the line? There's nobody there yet because
their head coach Riley's, is the star.
That's still, going on Morgan for Riley's the next
still
8 years.
Yeah, still. But Morgan Riley's still a kid. You know, their best players are their kids. So it's a whole different ball game than what Dave Cameron's up against, Gerard Gallant's up against.
Well, don't kid yourself.
Dallas,
Babcock was up against it with the Zetterbergs
totally
in the room
and
Datsyuk and, right?
Totally.
He had to manage those guys.
Totally did.
Opposed to Komarov and Kadri and Lupul. Totally.
Well, totally tonight it will be when the Sens and the Stars go head-to-head. It will be Stars Klingberg and Carlson going head-to-head. And really, that's just a lot of Swedish defensemen who are getting it done. You mentioned Ekman Larson. You've got Victor Hedman. You've got Hampus Lindholm. That's the Nick Lidstrom effect in full effect when it comes to the blue line and Swedish defenders. The other game tonight, Sportsnet West, 9:30 Eastern, Calgary and Anaheim. For those Flames, they are looking for their third straight victory. They've won three of their last four, but they haven't won in Orange County in 20 games since 2004. But this, guys, could be the right time for them to head in because Anaheim coming off a very deflating loss to Tampa Bay where they were shut out and Ryan Kessler had a few comments for his team after.
Didn't Hartley say that the last time they won in Anaheim, Elvis sang the national anthem?
To put it in perspective, Columbus has won there 10 times since then.
Columbus has.
Since Calgary's last.
Yeah, we always played really well
out
there.
Uh-huh.
It's bizarre. I'll use a word. Bizarre. Anaheim's bizarre.
Yeah.
Whoever would have saw
this coming?
Getzlaf and Perry.
12 points for Perry.
You would have said Ben and Tyler Seguin have a better chance of derailing at the start of the season than those two guys.
I picked them to go to the Stanley Cup
Finals.
So
did I, sir. So did I. Well, we will have to wait and see what happens between Calgary and Anaheim tonight.
Check that. check that, because I don't believe, like, are Winnipeg in the standings? Are they playoffs? No playoffs?
I picked them. I really was good this year in the break-in. That's why they gave me,
Leah,
great job today.
Ducks.
Can you come tomorrow?
Nick Kiprios alongside Leah Hextall, Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet, the Fan 590, and the NHL Network. We will chat with you tomorrow.